14 to chapter 4, verse 5. You can find that on page 964 of the Pew Bibles, or it will be up on the screen behind me. So that's page 964. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Thanks, Andy. Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. My name is Noah. I'm one of the ministers here at Northlight. I normally try and come up with some kind of joke for, as I'm getting up, just warm everybody up. And I was thinking, do I go with right wing or the fact that I'm talking about inspiration from the scripture? But I think I'm actually just going to get straight into it. Why don't you pray with me as we get to God's word? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you that you have brought us together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can hear it in a language that we understand. Lord, we thank you for the joy of gathering together around your word to know you better. We pray that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say. We pray that you would give us hearts that are ready to receive it. We pray that you would help us to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, how do you go with delighting in God's word? Delighting in God's word. We hear about it in the Bible. We hear about the psalmists who really love the word of God. And sometimes we'll hear it from other people. But how do you go with it? Today, we're looking at the Holy Spirit and inspiration. Now, when I say inspiration, I'm not talking about motivation. I'm not talking about vision setting. I'm not talking about being inspired, with an Instagram hashtag or something. This is not how the Holy Spirit inspires you. But inspiration, when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, is talking about how he inspired the scriptures, the word, the Bible. It's talking about how God speaks to us. And this can be a bit of a sore spot for many Christians, because we talk about how God speaks to us through his word. The Psalms talk about it, like I said before, delighting in God's word, loving the word of the Lord. And over the course of history, many Christians have gone to the extremes of dying for reading and teaching and translating the Bible. They love the word that much. And for some of us, it's easy to love God's word. We're right there. We're in that spot. And that's wonderful. But I think that many of us, at one time or another, we find it difficult to read God's word for ourselves, let alone to delight in it. And that can be really discouraging or, ironically, uninspiring. And so as we come to the topic of the Holy Spirit and inspiration today, it is my prayer that we will grow in our appreciation for just what we have here in front of us. And that we will grow as a church to desire to be listening to the Holy Spirit together through his word. And to help us do that, I've got three questions that I want to look into with you this morning. The first one is, who wrote the Bible? Second one is, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? And the third one is, how does the Holy Spirit listen? Help us listen. How does the Holy Spirit help us to listen? So, who wrote the Bible? Here I have a Bible. There's many in the pews in front of you. Biblios is a Greek word for a Bible or a collection of books. It's where we get bibliography. It's also where we get Bible. Our Bible is a collection of the Holy Scriptures, which are books that have been recognized as sacred books set apart to reveal God to us. Now, these scriptures have all been included in what we call the canon, or the canon of Scripture, which is the complete number of books that are in the Bible. The books that have been included in this collection that we call the Bible, they've been there since the 300s, although we have some evidence of earlier lists than that. This is the Word of God. We call it the Word of God because, well, this is God's Word to us, His revelation of Himself. You might remember that John, in his Gospel, he identifies Jesus as the Word of God because Jesus is God's revelation of Himself to us. The Bible is where we meet Jesus. It's where we have God revealed to us. So this is God's Word. I might use these terms interchangeably because the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, that they are what we have in front of us. They are one. And it's important that I say it's even when it's in your third language, even when it's in English, this is still God's Word. We don't call this a translation of God's Word. It's not a summary of God's Word or even a collection of God's words. When we read a portion of the Bible in the Church, the tradition is we finish it by saying, this is the word of the Lord. Not, this is a chapter from a bit of the word of the Lord. No, this is the word of God, the word of the Lord, because we've read God's word for us in this assembly here today. So if I were to ask you who wrote the Bible, what would your answer be? Because it would be quite accurate to say, well, Paul wrote some of the Bible. Moses wrote a little bit more. Jeremiah wrote a fair chunk of it. Those are all accurate answers. They wrote those books. That's factually correct. And it's important that we actually hold to the fact that these books were written by humans. These were human hands that wrote down words in human language. At the end of most of the New Testament letters, we get told who wrote the original letter. Paul says at the end of Galatians, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. He's got bad handwriting. I can relate. The books that we have in the Bible are all written by human authors. But another accurate answer is that God did. God wrote the Bible. It's God's word. In our reading just before, we heard all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, this is where we get that word inspiration from. The Holy Spirit and inspiration, spiration, spiriting, breath. The concepts of spirit and breath are quite closely tied in Hebrew and Greek thought. We've been hearing about that over the last few weeks. The Scriptures were breathed out, spirited out by the Spirit. So humans wrote the Word of God. How does that work? How do those things go together? And getting this right is important because it changes how we read the Bible, it changes how we think about the Bible, and it changes how we listen to the Bible. We saw in 2 Timothy that God's Word, what we have here, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And there are actually plenty of great books out there that have been written by humans that are great for teaching, great for rebuking, great for correcting, great for training you up in righteousness. So we need to understand that the Bible is actually different to that. It's not just another great book because it wasn't just written by human authors. It was written by authors who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so it's God's word. It's not just theirs. We call this dual authorship. That's the language that we have for it. The idea that our holy scriptures were both authored by humans as they wrote them down and authored by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 puts it like this, no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. that the very human authors of God's word were carried along by the Holy Spirit. As they wrote, he wrote. Our view of holy scriptures, and they are holy, set apart for God, scriptures, sacred writings, our view of our holy scriptures is quite different to other religions precisely because we hold that they are God-breathed, inspired by the Spirit. In fact, it's precisely because we believe in the Holy Spirit that we can believe in dual authorship. We can believe in inspiration. In Islam, for example, they believe that their scriptures were written by Allah and then handed down to the Prophet by angels. That this means that there cannot be a human element in writing them at all. The language, the physical writing, the pages, they must all be divine. We don't have that. We don't have that view of our scriptures. We don't have the view of Islam or any other religion. We don't believe that the words of our scriptures were written by angels from God. That the words as they are in the original Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek hold more spiritual power or significance than our English translation. We don't believe that the words of the Bible are magical and that if we repeat them at the right time in the right order with enough emphasis that we'll control spiritual forces. We don't believe that this physical book has any magical properties. We don't believe that this physical book needs any special reverence. Many Muslims wouldn't even touch a letter of the Quran because they are revering it so much. But we don't believe that the human authors of the Bible had their bodies taken over by the Spirit in such a way that they didn't know what they were doing, that they were just a mechanism that he was writing. But we don't believe that God took over their consciences so that they were in a trance-like state as they wrote down. And we don't believe that this is a window into God's real word. It's not a passageway to be looked through or looked beyond to get to the word of God. Now, that's a lot of what we don't believe. So what do we believe? Well, we believe the Holy Spirit inspired the authors of his word, meaning that they wrote down what they wanted to write in their own strength, humanly speaking, and that God, in his sovereignty, also wanted them to write those things, and so they did. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, our reading from today. The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And more than that, back in 2 Peter 1 again, it says, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Because of the Holy Spirit, we can have the Word of God right here in our hands. And we can say, without any hesitation, that it was written by human hands, and it was written by God because of the Holy Spirit. You might have some questions about how the books of the Bible were chosen. There is fascinating history there, but I do want to let you out before 2 p.m., so I can't quite get into it. To give you a really short and unsatisfactory answer, the books of the Bible, they weren't chosen, but they were recognized from amongst all of the other options that were out there because of the Spirit. It is the Spirit's work through his word that his word was recognized. Now, there's no book out there that is on par with the Bible. Even The Cross of Christ, which is a great book, by the way, would recommend. But it's not on par with the Bible. The Bible is God's truth about himself written for us. Now, some of you might have heard debates in the past about the words errancy or infallibility. So errancy, that is that there's no errors in the Bible. Infallibility, that there can be no errors in the Bible. And if we understand those words rightly, then I have no problem with saying that the Bible has no errors and cannot have any errors because it is God's truth breathed out by him about himself. Now, does that mean that there's no spelling mistakes? No. Does that mean that every story or moment recorded in the Bible is a precise historical representation of exactly what happened? No. But it does mean that in its job as the Word of God to reveal God to us, it has no errors. Because it was written by God, about God, for us. He is the author. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit inspired human authors to write the Bible. That's what we believe. That's what we know to be true. But as I said before, it can be hard when we don't feel like that's the case because, well, we aren't hearing God speak to us in the way that we would like. But when it feels like the Bible is just another human book. Now, Hebrews 4 says to us, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the heart, the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." But we believe that this is the living and active word of God, sharper than a double-edged sword. We believe that the Spirit not only breathed this word into existence, but that he speaks to us by it whenever we read it. We believe that this is God's word to his people, the word by which we can be saved. But believing that in principle is not the same as experiencing it, is it? Now, I don't know about you, but as Andy was reading before, I didn't have a, you know, "and the Lord spoke to Noah and said" moment. There wasn't another voice in the back of my head. I just finished reading through the Minor Prophets, and there are a lot of distinct moments there where it says, "thus says the Lord," or "the Lord spoke to Micah and said." Because that is what the inspiration of God's word is about. It's about God speaking to us. And I'm using that language intentionally, saying that God speaks to us, because we know from the Bible that God speaks. We know that his word has power. But right back at the beginning, all the way back at the start of creation, the Lord speaks the world into being. The book of Hebrews, it starts by reminding us in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And Jesus did all sorts of amazing things, miracles. He healed people, the blind, the deaf, the lame. He raised people from the dead. He calmed the storm. But the writer of the Hebrews doesn't mention any of that because the thing that our God does that he wants us to know about, that he wants to pull out, is that he spoke through his Son. And when Jesus tells his disciples that he is sending them the Holy Spirit in John 16, he says to them, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he'll make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you." The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks to us what the Father and the Son have spoken to him. So we should be listening to God as he speaks to us. The Bible seems pretty clear on that. But how? How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? I was listening last week to Tanya Harris's God Conversations podcast. I don't know if you've heard of that from Hope 103.2. But her mission with that podcast and with her training modules is to equip people to recognize and respond to God's voice. Now, I found some things from her podcast quite encouraging. There's a real emphasis on listening to God, which is something that I would really like to encourage you to do. I definitely agree with it. But on the podcast, there wasn't much mention of God's word. There was a lot of talk about God speaking, a lot of phrases from the Bible being dropped in out of context, but the main way that Tanya points to for people to hear the voice of God is hearing his voice internally, listening to ourselves so that we can hear God. And I want to recognize again that God can speak to people directly with his voice, and it is recognizable. that just a few weeks ago at youth, we looked at the story of Samuel when he was being called by God, and it was so clear that it woke him up and he thought it was Eli in the next room. That is a clear call. That's a clear voice. But I want to point out that this, as the Spirit guides and equips us for our lives, the main way that he does that has always been and continues to be through his word. Look back at 2 Timothy again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Paul includes a warning later in the passage, down to verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. Now, like I said before, God has and can speak to people directly in a discernible voice. And it'd be nice, wouldn't it, if the Holy Spirit was a little bit more like the Google Assistant that just sort of jumps in and tells you to take a left here so that you avoid the traffic that's about to come up. But we also know that there will be all sorts of creative ways in which the devil will try to derail his people. He's very creative. And so if you think you've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to you, be careful. Because if it turns out that you're listening to a spirit other than the Holy Spirit, the danger is not that you won't turn away from a traffic jam. It's that you'll end up turning away from the truth. You're in danger of chasing after myths. So make sure that in all things, you come back to being anchored by God's word as we have it in the Bible. And you test what anything else comes to you against the Bible. I wanted to include that today because there is a real fascination around God speaking directly to us. And he does speak to us. But misunderstanding how he does it can be part of the reason why many of us don't feel like he's speaking to us. We can be waiting for that little voice in the back of our head instead of listening to the reading of the scripture. And he promises that everything that we need for salvation and to be thoroughly equipped for every good work is contained in his living and active word, the Bible, which is already complete and doesn't need anything added to it. Even in 2026, even with AI coming in, the Holy Spirit has already finished the Bible. It is a completed work, and he speaks to us through it. The Spirit speaks to us by his word, and it's our job to listen. We'll never be able to delight in the word of God if we don't first learn to listen to the word of God. The writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 95. He says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did." God tells us that he is speaking to us through his living and active word. So how? How do we make sure that we're not hardening our hearts? How do we listen? Now, the theological answer is we listen by the Spirit, because he's the one who is speaking, and he's also the one who lives in us. He helps us to listen to himself through his word. We read before from John 16, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you." It's the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to listen to him. But that doesn't mean that we step back and say, "Spirit, take the wheel," even with the full chorus. the writer of the Hebrew to the Hebrews says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by God's deceitfulness." See, we ask the Spirit for help, but we still have to do work for ourselves. Do not harden your heart. I know that with personal Bible reading, it can feel like that, personal. I think that many of us can feel a really deep guilt or shame in this space because it is personal. And so we'll talk about it in light or vague terms because we don't want to get too concrete about how often we're reading God's word or what it's actually doing for us, what we're actually hearing. We don't want to be legalistic about it. No one is more or less saved because they read the Bible for 5 minutes this morning. I guess unless you got converted in those 5 minutes. But aside from that, no one is more or less saved. We've heard today that this is how the Lord speaks to us, his people. And we expect him to speak to us as we read his word. We want to delight in that. We have the wonderful privilege of not needing to gather around the one person in town who has a copy of the Bible. And we can read it and hear it in whatever language we want, whatever is most comfortable, thanks to the internet, thanks to AI. Whether it's through a printed Bible, an audio book, some other recording, but we don't have access issues. But I think that that can actually make it harder for us sometimes when we don't read the Bible because we know that we can. We know that we should. We know it's good for us. So why don't we? If you want to hear God speak, then stop listening for an echo in your heart, but actually come to his word. Come to the source, where he promises that he will speak to us. And if you're not reading his word, you're actually quenching the Spirit. You're hampering the mighty Holy Spirit from working in you and through you. Just imagine with me for a second what God would do, what the Spirit might do with a North Line where we all read his word consistently every single day. Listening to his Spirit every day. Can you imagine how that might transform us as a church? It would be wonderful. I want to see that happen. I want to see the Spirit work at work in each and every one of us and in all of us as a church family as we read his word together and apart. The more we read his word, the more we invite him to do a deep work in us, to change our hearts. And that's easy to say in this room on a Sunday morning, right? But this is where the real blessing of having our brothers and sisters, other believers around us, is. But we are all on the same team. We're all in this together. And I don't mean that in the COVID way of, you know, let's go. I mean, we're all in this together. We are all part of one body. If there is sickness in one of us, we all bear it. If you're struggling with your personal Bible reading, well, that's my problem. And if I'm struggling with my personal Bible reading, guess what? That's your problem. We are in this together. We are one body. There is no space for self-righteousness in the body of Christ. We are all, each of us, forgiven by grace. And there is no prize for being the person in the church who reads the most Bible. There's no point in getting ahead if you're not bringing others with you. So if you aren't reading your Bible regularly at the moment, ask your church family here for help. The people sitting on the pew with you or in front of you and behind you, they are the ones who God has put here for you. We all need this help in different ways at different times as we go through different seasons and different moments of life. We will all need this help at some point. And just think about how it would make you feel if someone else came up to you and said, "Hey, can you help me to read God's word?" Can you imagine how brave that person would have to be, but how good would it make you feel? Do that for someone else. You can ask them to pray for you. You can set up a Bible reading accountability WhatsApp group. There are all sorts of things that you can do to help one another. The point is that this is important enough to do something. Do something about it. And if you aren't struggling with reading God's word at the moment, if you are delighting in reading God's word, praise God And make the most of that. Make the most of it. See how you can encourage others. See how you can help the people around you. Maybe you can message people what you've been reading that day. Or maybe you can call someone that you know who struggles with reading their words so that you can read the word with them. You could ask to meet up, have a coffee, read the Bible. Christians have been reading the Bible together since the beginning of the church. And it's a wonderful thing. God works powerfully through that. As the Spirit speaks through me to you, through His word, it's wonderful. Imagine what the Spirit will do if we start doing that for one another more and more and more. God has given us these wonderful gifts of His word, of His Spirit. Let's make the most of them. Will you pray with me? Our loving Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for your word. And Lord, we are amazed that you have spoken through your Spirit, that you have inspired the authors of your word so that you might speak directly to us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to listen to what you have to say each and every day. Please, Lord, would you help us to center our lives around you? And please help us as a church to love one another by bringing your word to each other. Lord, we pray that you would help us all to read the Bible, to read your word, together and apart. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.